Welcome to the Life's a Pitch podcast, the show where we pitch the best movies that will never get made. I'm Tom McGrath.
And I'm Matt Turner. This is the podcast where we ask you, the listener, to give us a title of a movie that doesn't exist. Yet.
We then collaborate to create a pitch for that movie, complete with casting, story beats, and sometimes even marketing.
Without further ado, this week's main feature is...
Spice!
I'm going to the one place uncorrupted by capitalism.
Space!
Yep. We're doing space movies. Yeah. Movies about the vacuum beyond.
Yes.
Our cozy little blue orb.
Yes, the one place that has now been corrupted by capitalism.
Unfortunately, now that there's a fucking car zooming around in the junk layer of the stratosphere.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a shame none of the titles I've written down reflect that.
Is that a joke? And they all do?
No. None of them do. I'm just telling the truth.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to believe that we're not. For once, this podcast is not going to be casting Elon Musk.
Oh, yes.
Tommy Wiseau as Elon Musk.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe it will.
Who knows?
Maybe it will.
I feel like this opening has been, like, really left contextless. Like, if you haven't seen it...
Didn't know that Elon Musk shot a car into space.
Yeah. I was more concerned with the Tim Curry of it all.
Oh, yeah.
The bit from Red Alert 3 or something.
Everyone's seen that clip, right?
Everyone has seen that. Just, if you haven't...
Tim YouTube, Curry space. That's
yeah,
it.
Tim Curry space.
Yep.
We all think everyone's seen the Orson Welles... champagne advert clip from YouTube.
But very few people have.
Very few people have.
Very few people know who Orson Welles is.
Yes, yeah.
But I think more people have seen Tim Curry saying space.
Yes, yeah. Well, Orson Welles famously wrote the radio play of War of the Worlds, which brings us to space.
Space
movies.
Yes. The chances of anything coming from Mars or any other planet. We're 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah.
She said.
Yeah.
So. I always loved that little... You know when you just mutter something under your breath at the end of a sentence?
Yeah.
That's what that phrasing feels like.
She said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 1,000,000 to 1, she said.
Yet another woman, uncredited for her...
for her work.
Yeah, for her work. Big,
for her... Well, for her iconic quote.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting this quote in.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are 1,000,000 to 1.
So, yeah, we're pitching space movies with titles people have given us.
Yes, we are.
On the social media. So thank you to everyone who got in touch with us on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast, Twitter @Life's a Pitch Show, and patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast as well. Without... these titles that people have given us, this show wouldn't exist.
It's true.
It's true. It's true. So if you want to get involved, please go to those sites and contribute. We put out a post, or Matt rather puts out a post every Friday, there and thereabouts, with a specific genre.
If you want to get by our patrons.
Oh, yeah. If you want to get involved with that, you can do. And so, yeah, it's just us again this week.
Yes, indeed.
In the vast vacuum of space.
Quite alone. Alone in the dark.
Yeah. Yes, it's quite lonely out there in space.
Space.
Shall we get on with pitching some space movies?
Space! Yes, let's do it.
All right. So from James Cannon, we've got Neil deGrasse Tyson's Big Day Out.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's Big Day Out. Okay.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson, famous American astrophysicist who is like, he's basically... If you're in the UK and you've heard of Brian Cox, not the actor one, the physicist one, he's kind of America's version of that, the TV physicist.
And if you're in America and you haven't heard of Brian Cox, Brian Cox is like England's the UK's version of Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably similar levels of smug.
Similar levels of smug, but Brian Cox doesn't go on Twitter to complain about the scientific accuracies of movies.
That's true. Yeah. And I do think that what this is
is, I think it's kind of Neil deGrasse Tyson's big day in. Yeah. I think he is subjected to an experience in which he's shown the truths of the universe.
Yeah.
Or everything he knew about science was wrong. I'm kind of taking from the three-body problem here where, you know, like science goes wrong.
Yeah.
But he's subjected to proofs that everything he knows about physics is completely wrong.
Yeah.
And it's just we watch his mind crumble as he tries to figure out new experiments to figure out, like, okay, well, if we take this to be true, and we take if we take the gravity is working in this way, and photons are working in this way, then we have a new experiment. We'll find out how those work, and then when he does that experiment, the results are so fucking left field.
Yeah,
like a flower grows.
Yeah,
and he's like, I can't. All right, well, we'll try something else.
This kind of feels also very much like a prank show
for
Neil deGrasse Tyson, but on a grand scale.
Yes.
So, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think, hosted Cosmos, which is on Disney Plus now, but I think I can't remember where it was originally, but it's a Carl Sagan originally did it back in the day, where it's basically just like a really informative science show. Again, Brian Cox.
Like a nature documentary, but for space.
Yes, very much so. I think it also sort of goes into like the origins of humanity and space and everything like that. Maybe he's shooting something like that, like as a TV personality.
Yes.
He is given a script that doesn't make any fucking sense. He calls it out.
Yeah, of course he does.
And the producers are like, no, this is peer-reviewed by everyone.
Yeah.
Like, we have got all the sciences. Like, but it doesn't go with what we think is...
So he starts to like, make experiments to try and prove his hypothesis.
Yeah.
Or his... The things he knows about science.
Yeah.
And... His results are like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, right? And all the while, right?
Yeah,
Ashton Kutcher is watching on monitors. Now, this is a dated reference
because it's punked. It's punked. Like, if you remember the prank guys or the
prank guys,
whatever they're called.
What was it? Impractical Jokers.
Sure, yeah, whatever the boring thing. Yeah, but I think the important thing here is that reality is doing this to him.
Yeah.
And it's because we reveal at the end of the show that he's in a simulation. We put Neil deGrasse Tyson into a simulation where physics is wrong. He eventually, over the course of this series, he comes up with a new system of logic to figure out how the simulation's physics works. We ask Kit Thorne, to invent a world in which things look the same but have fundamentally different logic.
Kit Thorne, the physicist who worked on Interstellar.
Interstellar, right? Guy.
Yeah.
We ask him to invent a world where things work roughly the same but have fundamentally different logic. Then we ask Neil deGrasse Tyson to math out the logic of that universe. And once he's readjusted to life in this new universe, we reveal to him that it was all the way he thought it was before.
We give Neil deGrasse Tyson his own version of the free body problem.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I guess the Trisolarans in the book or the Sati.
I've only seen the first episode.
Where these aliens are messing with Earth.
Yeah.
Messing with
Earth. Yeah, they're pranking
commas.
Us.
Yeah. It's all a big prank. But basically, they're trying to stop us progressing scientifically so they can invade when they get here because it's going to take them 400 years to get here.
No, it's spoilers.
You should have read the book. So we do that. We're just purely with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
And at the end, he takes his VR headset off or something, and it's just James Cameron sat there
laughing
because he's completely rewired Neil deGrasse Tyson's brain. to like to he's basically just caused Neil deGrasse Tyson to go insane.
Yeah.
And James Cameron is just laughing because, and then just angrily shouting, "Get me to change the fucking stars on the Titanic movie." You twat.
You twat. Get me to change the stars in the Titanic movie, you twat!
Famously, Neil deGrasse Tyson tweeted that the stars, the position of the stars in the movie Titanic when the ship's sinking are wrong.
In the wrong place, yep.
Yeah, because like, we know what position the stars were in this and on this day at this time of night. It's like, and then James Cameron went and re-released, well, not, this wasn't purely for the re-release. This is why they didn't re-release, this is why they re-released Titanic. They were going to do like a 10th anniversary anyway.
Yeah.
they just changed the stars to make it accurate, basically.
To appease Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
I think I'm fully in my anti-scientist era.
Yeah.
Not anti-science.
Yeah, yep.
I'm not anti-science.
Yeah.
I'm anti-scientist.
I think you're anti-TV scientist.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I'm anti-scientist reverence.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a great movie. I'd watch it.
Torturing Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, that's what it will be called in a few other places. Torturing Neil deGrasse Tyson. All right, so from Ashraf, we've got Ice Ring Heist.
Ice Ring Heist.
Mm.
Okay, so this is like an ice, a ring of ice, like Saturn has little tiny...
dust around.
It's dust and small rocks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Around its, in its ring.
Yeah.
But there are planets. Neptune?
I think Uranus has a ring of ice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's definitely water.
Yeah.
But it's...
Or is it Neptune? Who knows? One of the two.
Yeah. But point being that, like, it's any given planet.
Yeah.
It can be in a different galaxy, but there is an ice ring. I'm sort of thinking on that, you know, like... you know how in Chronicles of Riddick there's that prison planet?
Yes.
That, like, has this thing where... The sun burns
the other half, the half that's not in the dark.
The dark is kind of good.
Yeah.
And the light is bad.
Yeah.
Because you get burned by it.
Yeah.
You've got to stay. If you're trying to escape, you've got to stay
ahead. That's a really good idea.
Isn't it?
It felt like that, like, with the Chronicles of Riddick, it felt like that was the original idea for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they added this entire fucking intergalactic...
The massive context stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Which I think if it would just been the Prison Break film, would have been so much better.
Would have been good, yeah. 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 I mean, like, that's the thing, is Pitch Black is that a really good movie because it's got this very, very simple concept.
Yeah.
Like, the most dangerous person... everyone's scared of this convict.
Yeah.
And he's because he's got these big eyes that were made for this dark.
He's the only one that can help him, and he's got. Oh, it's such a good movie.
Good movie.
And if it had just been fucking the Fire Planet, it would have been great, but it's a terrible film.
The rest of it's shit. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so this is going to be. What? Who do you bring?
Mm.
What unlikely. Heist members, because we got the classic lot.
Oh yeah, you've got the contortionist. You got the Ocean's 11 contortionist.
Other than the contortionist, you've got a hacker.
Every good heist has to have a contortionist. That was. I just want to point to a bit that happened in real life where me and Matt argued that a contortionist. Well, I think a contortionist is needed in a good heist. Every heist needs a contortionist.
Yep.
And you were like, this is purely for Ocean's 11. This only works with Ocean's 11.
And Ocean's 8.
Well, I'll get to this.
Yeah.
When we went to watch Ocean's 8, there was no contortionist.
Yep.
And like, we were kind of just sort of looking at each other down the aisle where we'd see this at the cinema.
Like, no contortionist,
Tom. You don't need a contortionist. And then at the end, when it was revealed, the contortionist was in the movie. I felt so validated. Yeah. I was like, ha ha! Gotcha.
It's true. Like, yeah, I mean, Ocean's movies are allowed contortionists, apparently. Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
What unlikely heist member, like a contortionist, Do you have, because I'm thinking like ice skate dancer person, right?
Yeah.
Like someone who would be able to, you know, jump from sort of ice shard to ice shard elegantly without slipping over or whatever. Now, I know that gravity doesn't exactly work like that.
Space ice dancer.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
But that's what's going to make it interesting, right? It's, they're not doing their normal thing. You wouldn't think to bring a dancer to a...
I'm trying to figure out, sort of in my head, why they're trying to heist ice from an ice ring. Because, like, maybe...
Maybe they're not trying to heist ice. Maybe there's something in the ice ring that is...
Like diamonds or something?
Yeah, like sort of spice from Dune. Like, there's something in there that you need, and there's a repository that's orbiting, that's been harvesting this ice ring.
Well, maybe this is like a space opera-y movie where these people are coming from a desert planet, and...
They want to steal the whole ring?
They want to steal the ice from the ring so they can make water on this desert planet.
Okay.
And this big emperor or space government has it all under control.
Yes.
Like no one is allowed to touch this space ring for whatever reason.
Because whoever controls the water controls the galaxy.
Yes, that's it. I think at the end of the movie, it's kind of sort of posited that they didn't really need the ice ring, and they go to another planet. Basically, the government's kept everyone on desert planets.
Yeah.
And then they crash land on Earth.
Yeah.
And realize that, oh my God, there's water everywhere.
It's not even solid.
I lost my whole crew on this heist trying to get ice from this ice ring so that I could help my people on this desert planet. Where's this planet where there's just water everywhere?
Oh, like, okay, one of the reasons that you're not allowed to go to this ice planet and is because from that ice ring, you can see another planet.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're you know, locked.
Or the planet itself.
Orbitally locked.
That the rings around, like Saturn. The planet itself is just water-based.
It's like
an Earth planet. Yeah, yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, there is another planet. But it's locked so that you can only see it from this planet.
Yes, yeah.
You can't see it from any of the other desert planets around that solar system. It is always in the way.
Yes,
and
yeah.
If you look really carefully, you can see just the edges of it.
Right? So it's almost eclipsed by the... Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I get that. And I think, this government or system has sort of kept it locked up.
Kept it secret, yeah.
Yeah, I think this crew has got together, this sort of almost Robin Hood-like crew has got together, like, oh, we're going to steal the ice
from
like scientists have been sort of banned or whatever. So it's like this crew always gone like, oh, like the ice, from the ice we can create water, this old science book or whatever.
So we've got a big ship with a big bucket on the front of it to scoop up.
A big ice cube scoop.
Yep.
Ship. The whole ship looks like a giant ice scoop.
Yeah, ready to do the big orbit.
Yes.
All the way around the thing and then just come back.
Like, I mean, there's some smugglers who do it and stuff, and it's just...
And they're just top skimming, right? They just go up and just, you know, take a few and come back.
We're going to take the whole damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then they get... Because they're bigger and because they have to go further out, they... get into this position behind the planet because they want to go the whole place. Usually people just go up to the ring, take a few, go back to the planet because all the defenses are on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so if you go too close to the other side, you'll get seen by the planet and you'll get shot down.
Yeah.
Well, these guys want to do a whole orbit of the thing, right? To take it all.
Yeah.
So when they get to the back, when they get behind this planet, they see... a beautiful blue orb glistening in the starlight.
Well, after the heist goes badly wrong, like, and the main guy like gets an escape pod and crashes on the water planet, it's like, what was this all for? It's like a kind of Charlton Heston at the end of Planet of the Apes, just like, you blew it up.
Yes.
Like, why?
But it turns out, yeah, that the Galactic Empire lives.
Yeah.
On this beautiful orb, yeah.
Yeah, it's like an oppressive regime that's just sort of keeping everyone...
Nice stuff to itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
It is creepy. Oh. Bad guys.
Yeah. So from Phil Walters, we've got 359 wolves on a spaceship.
Yeah.
What do we do with this one, Matt? I wrote this down and had no ideas.
Okay, so I think... I have an idea here.
Okay.
And basically it's that Earth is dying.
Yeah.
Right? Through whatever, for whatever, you can do the interstellar corn route.
Yeah.
Or you can do the...
I forgot there's like a weird mental gap between interstellar and corn. Interstellar the movie.
Yeah.
You're not talking about a thing...
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, not the interstellar corn route.
Yeah.
There isn't interstellar corn killing the Earth because of its trap, because of its migration patterns.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe it is. That might be what's happening.
Earth's gotten in the way of an interstellar corn route.
Yeah.
It's dying for some reason.
This colossal corn that's growing in
floating
space.
Floating through space.
Yeah, no.
And it just...
Yeah, no. In Interstellar, the corn is
hitting
dying.
Hitting Earth like darts.
Yes.
the crops aren't growing or with climate change or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Earth's dying.
Mm.
We need to get these ark ships to evacuate people out of Earth.
Yeah.
And get them to a new M-class planet where we can live in the future, right? But we don't just want to take humans. We're going to try and bring as much of Earth with us as we can, right? And we've got loads of resources because we've dug the hole out of Earth, right? So we're sending a lot of them for redundancy. Loads of humans and then animals and seeds and all sorts, right?
Yeah, I can kind of see where this is going.
Right. So everyone takes off from Earth.
Yeah.
And then fucking corn from the sky just...
obliterates
all the humans.
So we already had a pretty bad time.
Yep.
We didn't realise that the corn was coming. The interstellar corn route was going to go straight through.
Our escape vector.
Exactly.
And it's only like one or two people.
Yeah.
And all the wolves that a spaceship can carry...
And that's the number 359.
359.
Couldn't get 360 on there.
Oh, no.
Couldn't go all the way around with wolves, could we? No.
Need space for one person.
Oh, yeah, of course. So it's one guy on a spaceship.
I suppose.
With 359
and I
wolves.
I think it's about, they've got like, because Earth was dying.
Yeah.
The science really progressed fast, right? Mm. Because, you know, when humans are really good at, while they're in a time of strife, kind of compromising their morals in order to accelerate their findings in science.
Yeah.
Get desperate.
Mm.
And so they did. They messed with genetics. They messed with, all sorts of, like, you know, cryonics and that sort of stuff. And it's this person realizing that they're the only person left in existence.
Mm.
Every other human is dead. All they have is wolves.
Yeah.
Right? And the start of the movie is them trying to not get eaten by wolves.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of them. I'm not going to say that's a small part of the movie.
Yeah.
It's quite a big part of the movie.
Yeah.
But I think over the course, they start to realize that the reason, because they were here to keep the wolves, right?
Mm.
The reason that these wolves were brought with was because someone had intended an experiment to genetically modify them to when they got to the new planet they could settle it more easily with these genetically modified wolves.
Oh god, so there's these genetically modified wolves going around on this spaceship.
Well, and
I think one of them's got super intelligence.
Well, so here's the thing. I think that they're the threat at the start.
Yeah.
One of them has him and is leading the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
And then there's this moment where Florence Pugh realizes, hang on, I'm the only human.
Yeah.
They are the ones who are going to settle.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
M-class
oh,
planet.
God.
Like, I'm going to, like, do everything I can to further modify these wolves to be a sentient species when they reach this planet.
That's the idea. Yeah. Yeah. That's the, when she realizes she's on a fool's errand,
yeah,
almost.
Preserving herself is not going to do anything.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So it's part alien,
yeah,
but with wolves instead of aliens.
So she's, yeah, but and at the halfway point,
yeah,
she is trying to impart these wolves with the knowledge of history, where they came from,
yeah,
what the humans did and what how they should do things
it
differently.
It almost feels like a prequel to Planet of the Wolves.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I like the idea that she comes back to Earth.
Yep.
Like, it's on a trajectory to come back to Earth thousands of years later.
Yeah, and there's wolves.
And it's just wolves.
But no, I think there's a new planet, and I think that in the end, she realizes she's got to sacrifice her life.
Mm.
There's some wolves that are, like, intelligent. There's some wolves who are... where the experiment's gone wrong, and they are, like... angry.
Yeah, big, angry mutated yeah. wolves.
And she ends up, like, sacrificing her life. Her brain...
Yeah.
Like, she kind of splices it, uploads it to the point where she can help these intelligent wolves survive with an aspect of the knowledge of her knowledge of the history of humanity,
yeah,
Earth, and where these wolves came from.
What bits and pieces do we need to make a civilization?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite a nice, like, sort of hard sci-fi,
well,
in a way.
Yeah,
in a,
I don't think it's that hard.
It's kind of like a nice sort of solo venture.
Yeah.
Sort of experimental film almost.
Yeah. I think it's better suited to a novel.
Yeah.
Than a movie, but the novel does well, and then we make the movie.
It feels like there was a film with Robert Pattinson in where he was in a spaceship with a load of convicts.
Yeah,
I can't remember it was like Mile High or something like that.
Yeah,
where that was very much sort of like this could have been 20 minutes. I fell asleep.
All right, okay.
Through. But yeah, that feels like that. What was that called? Because I definitely went to see it.
Yeah,
I didn't dream it.
You did it. I didn't dream it.
Yeah. But yeah, it feels kind of like that. Just very lonely out in space, kind of.
And it's a bleak ending, but also a hopeful ending. So
yeah,
a bit of sweet.
If you're watching it with your dog,
yeah,
the dog will find something
some
from
hope
it.
In it. Yeah. Yeah, but you as a human are going to be quite sad.
Yeah. The dog's just smiling at the end of it. Just you're watching it with your dog on the sofa because it's going straight to streaming. And the credits roll. You turn and your dog's just smiling at you.
Who's playing the wolf? The most intelligent wolf person?
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So Florence Pugh and Patrick Stewart.
Florence.
I require another can of this. We haven't yet finished the equations to give me opposable thumbs. I need you to open the tin of dog food.
Open the can of gelatined meat, please.
Florence. I'll do those quadratic equations momentarily, but at first I require to scratch myself behind the ear.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther. Bark, bark.
Don't throw the ball that far.
Like, he's intelligent and does, like, maths equations that,
yeah,
like, humans can't even do.
Yeah.
And yet he's wanting to play fetch.
Yeah, it's classic. Well, it's classic smart dog shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's classic Brian from Family Guy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Maybe it is directed by Seth MacFarlane.
No.
Well, he's worked with Patrick Stewart before.
No!
So, those were all our titles. Thank you to everyone who's given us titles. We've had so many this week.
Yeah, a lot of titles.
Yeah.
People love space, turns out.
People do love space. So we just want to thank you to everyone who gives us titles on social media and continues to do that.
Yeah, yeah, and helps us out.
Yeah, if you want to get your friends involved as well, share the posts.
Yeah, tell them, hey, by the way, this podcast made a story out of this ridiculous title I gave them. Maybe you should give it a go too.
Yeah, maybe you should get in as well and sort of get a community built from that. You don't have to. And if you don't want to, there is other ways you can support us
sure
by doing
am.
That. Matt, do you want to tell us about another way you can support us?
Yes. Well, you can go to patreon.com/lifesapitchpodcast. Those of you who listen regularly, you feel like you've heard it all before. That's reasonable. Mostly you have. But I just want you to consider, if you listen to this podcast, how little something like a dollar a month would be out of your bank account a month to help the podcast. Patreon.com is somewhere that you can give a dollar a month to people who make media that you like. So if you're listening to this and you enjoy it and you want to get involved with it, you want it to continue, then consider going over there to patreon.com/lifesapitchpodcast. There you can get bonus pitches for I think $5 a month. Mm-hmm. You can get your name read out and a vote on the genre every week, just for us on that lowest tier. But even if you're hard up for cash, and goodness knows we all are, then head over there and follow us, because we do have title posts over there that don't require you to interact with social media.
Oh, yes.
importantly, we'd like to say thank you to the people who do support us, and that is Spanky, Ross Originals Back by General Consensus, Spending the Night in A&E After Eating Out of the Worm Bucket Meal You've Been Breeding Since June Released, Stephen D. Thomas, Jingle Bells, Orcs Do Smell, We're Going to Keep Flogging This Christmas Episode Until We Get Off Our Asses and Make a New One, or Fingers to Hand, Lisa Al-Ghaib Is a Size Queen, James Delaney, Worm Chanting, Paul, you chanting Muad'Dib, 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 the entire theatre chanting Dune the Movie. That one mysterious benefactor that you can always see in the corner of your eye, but you're never sure whether they're really there. The name's Gumboot, Ptolemy Gumboot, Chicago PD, retired, there, see a confession, case closed. The difference between me and Darth Vader is that I have arms and legs and he had the will to live. Wish I'd gone to gut level now, hell, even climbing would be better than this downpour of offal. Brent Black, question box, retired. Thanks, Inspector, you did it. Lock them up and throw the prison into Arrakis. And young Paul Atreides, never flitting, still is sitting on the bust of Matthew, just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a Joseph Hegarty. That is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er them streaming throws their podcast upon the floor, and my soul from out that shadow lies floating on the floor, perched, sat, considered, Matt, a bird, the inspector, a sandworm, nevermore. The serial dragon and family. Do not you want to know who has taken it? Cried his wife impatiently. Deny human. Deny human. Deny human. Lexitor Parsnak and his revolving spice mines. You want the Patreon name length secret? We have a Bene Gesserit who just shouts, longer! Hark! The Herald Angels sing of the second Patreon account I created to join this stupid ARG. Duncan Idaho being a brat and saying no when the big lady tells him what to do. Zoe wearing a cone of silence to the cinema and everyone thinks I'm just a fucking puppy. You idiots are going to get caught by the voice. Time to cancel Tom for being a pinko commie who hides under beds. Nutmeg, the lachrymose donkey. Thank you to all those people.
Thank you indeed. And we end the show as we always do with the S Very Clever Award, the award we give out to someone who's given us a title based around an existing title. Mm-hmm. Just had a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
So this week it goes to Jane Aerith Magnet Dale, who's given us Star Wars, and then in brackets put, but not the other ones with the laser swords.
So no laser sword, just stars, Wars of Stars.
Wars of Stars.
Oh, very clever.
Yeah, very clever indeed. So I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
Remember who pitched it.